Anyway, it's great to be back to Beltwide. It's been a while. I've stepped down from my administrative duties at NC State, and I'm usually not used to being among friends. I'm more of a hostile environment, if you know what I mean. Thank you. And most of my ability to think critically and adapt to change has almost come back all the way, over a year since I've stepped down. Okay. Anyway, obsolete and modern cultivars to examine yield and dry matter partitioning. Okay. Advance. There we go. Okay. Since about World War II, there's been a linear increase in yield. There were periods, as Jack mentioned, of plateauing. You can see generally where that is. But overall, it's been about 8.8 kilograms per hectare increase in yield per year. And Schwartz came up with this table in his dissertation for his master's, and he put together all the studies that looked at obsolete modern cultivars. And overall, the mean was 7 kilograms per hectare, and the median was 7.2. Well, I'm going to concentrate basically on the Stoneville studies that were done, and it was Bridge et al. Well, you can read them. And we'll talk about those as far as yield, and then Meredith and Wells had another study shortly after the one in 1984. I'll talk about that also. Anyway, Stoneville, obsolete, and modern studies as far as yield. It all started with a study conducted by Bob Bridge, Bill Meredith, and J.F. Chisholm in 1967 and 68. They had a number of obsolete cultivars and three new cultivars at the time. The obsolete cultivars were all once important as far as commercially in the Delta, and Stoneville 213 and Delapine SL were bred in the Delta, and Coker line was from the southeast in South Carolina. Well, this resulted in a nice linear relationship between lint yield and year of release. Just happens over here is the Coker line that was bred in South Carolina. Now, Bill Meredith told me, and I can't confirm this, it's in my brain, but I don't know if I have it totally right. He said that lines that were bred in the Delta did well in the Southeast, but not vice versa. But I can't really, you know, I'm going to be on Thursday walking around the parking lot trying to find my truck. So probably, who knows whether that's right or not. Anyway, out of the study, they had about 10 kilograms per hectare increase in yield. And if you take the Coker line out, it's about 14. In that study, percent fiber was increased and was related to lint yield. So it looked like there was greater partitioning within the bowl to the fiber and less to the seed. They did another study about 10 years after that, and they had 17 cultivars from the period of 1910 through 1979. And once again, nice linear relationship, 9.5 kilograms per hectare increase in yield per year. And with that study, the percent lint in the first harvest looked to be altered. So there was a movement towards earliness. The next study was my first study out of graduate school. Bill Meredith and I sat down. We would do this a lot, just talk about ideas. And he threw this out, and I said, it's like he hit me in the side of the head. This is a study to do. This is a no-brainer, because you're going to come up with answers. And I was thinking at the time, publications, because we're still, I guess, still in the publisher parish here. I'm not sure or not. Or maybe it's shifted now to funding. You've got to get funding. But you still got to publish. Anyway, we looked at six cotton cultivars from 1900 in both the Stoneville and Delapine backgrounds. We had two environments that year. We planted in April 26th and May 12th. And I want to just point out that was a long time ago. This is circa 1983. I was about 32 years. I don't want to tell you how old I am. My wife was here, she'd kill me. She doesn't want me to give my age. But I married a much younger woman. I learned that. Anyway, I already did this. Okay. We found also increases in yield that were linear, about 7 kilograms per hectare in the early planting and about 6.6 in the second one. If you move those lines up over each other, the relative spacing of the different cultivars is virtually the same. So they kept their relative ranking. The next study was done as far as yield by Meredith Highholt Pettigrew and Sam Rayburn, and they looked at 16 cultivars on 2 nitrogen levels, 112 and 22 kilograms per hectare, for 8 obsolete cultivars, 7 modern, and 1 experimental F2 population. And they found, once again, linear increases similar to other studies. It appeared there might have been a slight increase in nitrogen response in the modern cultivars, but not that much. I was amazed that there wasn't more of a response to nitrogen in this study, but then you got to think about the delta soils as opposed to North Carolina soils. I don't know if this would ever come out the same way in North Carolina. So we look at the overall yield studies done. There was a 7.37 kilogram per hectare on the average increase in yield per year, which jives very closely to what Schwartz had in his dissertation table. Okay, so that brings us to another part of the study that I was involved with, and how is growth and dry matter partitioning related to differences in yield between obsolete and modern cultivars. In other words, selection for yield, which was the main factor in those days, what else has been brought along with that as far as partitioning? Well, if we look at white flower counts per days after planting, the newer cultivars had 72% of their flowers in the first 4 days of measurement, whereas the old ones had only about 53%. So there was a definite increase in earliness in the modern cultivars as opposed to the obsolete. Of course, the intermediates were intermediate. That's why they were named that. We look at the simple coefficients for the relationships between year of cultivar release and various parameters of vegetative growth. We have over in the yellow negative correlations, and that would indicate that the old cultivars, obsolete cultivars, had greater vegetative mass later in the season, which would indicate greater, a slower transition from vegetative to reproductive development. Now, if we look at the same relationship, year of cultivar release to various parameters of reproductive growth in the green, where you have positive relationships, would indicate that the new cultivars are higher in those parameters. So you have a greater square number early, immature bowls, and then mature bowls, and total bowl number. And the same thing was reflected in the dry weights of those same parameters. And at the bottom is reproductive to vegetative ratio, which would indicate a greater partitioning into reproductive parts by the modern cultivars. And as far as reproductive to vegetative ratio was concerned, we found this from the April 26 planting date in the Stoneville background, and we see the new cultivars have, and the intermediate and the old cultivars have separated quite a bit. The next step was to determine if yield increases would persist through continued changes in dry matter partitioning and promising advanced lines. This is interesting. I was at Raleigh by the time this came out. Somebody said, "You got a nice paper in crop science." And I said, "What paper?" I didn't even know this was published. Bill did the work while I was there. We worked on it together. But after I left, he took off and published it. That's a nice thing to have. You know, publications you don't even know you have. We had five obsolete cultivars from 1905 to 59, and five modern cultivars. And the kicker was the advanced lines, 15 in all, came from five breeding programs and three lines that had potential to replace their current cultivars in those commercial enterprises. Three environments over 2 years. And a similar thing was found. Yield was linearly related to boll weight divided by total dry weight of the plant. And if you notice down here is where the obsolete cultivars are. So they were all lumped together. If we look at the same regression of yield to reproductive to vegetative ratio, there's a linear relationship also. And once again, down in the lower left corner is the obsolete cultivar mean. And yield was negatively, height was negatively related to yield, and that would indicate there's still being a movement towards less vegetative dry matter production in relation to yield. So what did we learn? There was a 7.4 kilogram per hectare per year increase in fiber yield, and these values concurred with numerous other studies. The newer cultivars were earlier in flowering and maturity. Dry matter partitioning was changed. Newer cultivars had greater reproductive mass and less vegetative mass. And these changes were also found in advanced breeding lines in the 1980s. So what about now? How has biotechnology changed these trends? Are the same alterations being made in today's genetically modified lines? And what a promising research area for a young researcher who has funding. And by the way, if anybody has funding, I'd like to talk to you afterwards in the back. And with that, I'm done.
Some time for questions.
Yes, Jack.
Talk about the modern varieties, which are, notably the late, like, you know, big plant, late, drop square, like crazy. How do they do this?
I don't know. I would say, because there is a trend towards smaller, more compact plants and shorter, but that doesn't fit the mold. Right. And a lot of square loss. I mean, and you would expect that with a bigger plant. The Lone Star that we had was 1905 cultivar. I mean, that thing was over your head, and the first bowls were at belt level. Now, I liked it as far as picking it. But as far as, you know, production, it just kind of was slow in moving into reproductive production. Yes, Keith. We did not detect anything in that study we did. And I, you know, in newer, you know, this, we're talking about the 1980s, the last of these studies. So what's going on now, especially with, there's more movement towards traits, not necessarily just yield. So how is that going to impact all this too? I mean, in the commercial companies. Mark. I mean, that's a speculation. It could be. But I kind of wonder, not kind of, but I wonder why is there a movement towards rank growth? And I think that's why we need some studies done on cultivars that we have now, as opposed to maybe things that, what I'm calling new cultivars, are now obsolete and been obsolete a long time. I don't really have an answer. Sir. Well, I don't either, so. Yeah. Right, right. And you shorten, you know, you don't want a larger plant from what, that's what I've been taught, and for ease of picking and also to impart some earliness. So.
All right, thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes this session. I would invite all of you to plan to attend the late morning session. It will actually be over in Salon M, and it'll be starting at 10:30. I'd like to thank all of the speakers this session. Most of them are still here, so if you have any individual questions for any of them, this is your chance to grab them and ask them. Or we would also invite you to attend the physiology and agronomy business meeting as well. All right, thanks a bunch.